Good morning and welcome to our worship this morning. A special welcome to any visitors here today. Please join us for a cup of tea or coffee after the service in the hall, where there will also be a tradecraft stall and Christmas cards. Next week, it will be the Tradecraft Christmas Fair, so you will be able to start your Christmas shopping next week. The Christmas Shoebox Appeal collected 141 boxes, which is tremendous, so thank you to the Guild and to Carol. In the intimations, there's an error about the Guild meeting on Tuesday. It's not an afternoon meeting. It takes place at 7:30 on Tuesday. Today I have to read an edict of the notice of nomination. At a meeting held at Cultskirk Centre on Sunday, the 22nd of October 2017, the nomination committee chose the person who they wished to propose to this congregation of Cults Parish Church to be our new minister. The name of the person proposed is the Reverend Shuna M. Dix. Arrangements have been made for the Reverend Shuna M. Dix to conduct public worship in this church on Sunday, the 26th of November 2017 at 10:30 o'clock a.m. Immediately after this service, there will be a vote on whether or not Shuna M. Dix should be appointed as the new minister of this congregation of Cults Parish Church. Anyone whose name appears on the electoral register of the church, of Cults Parish Church, shall be entitled to vote. No one else shall be entitled to vote. Kenneth Petrie, interim moderator. And now I'm delighted to welcome Stuart McCauley again to conduct our worship. Welcome, Stuart.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back, and I've just gone live, obviously. You can hear me. Excellent. It's great to be here once again on this very special of Sundays, a time when we choose to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice to grant us the freedoms that we enjoy in our lives. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We lift our voices to sing the Lord's praise in the words of our opening hymn, hymn number 127, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above.
Thank you.
Let us come before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and Father, on this day of remembrance, we gather to sing and to pray. We choose to remember the past and also look to the future. We remember this day when the guns once fell silent. And so we come before you, Lord, seeking your peace. Upon this day of hope in the face of terror, we come before you, Lord, praying with all our hearts, God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Help us, Lord, to find the path which leads to the peaceable kingdom. Open our eyes and the eyes of the nations to find a different path through the disagreements of life in our world. In this time of story, of song and prayer, may we be recommitted to bring people of peace, to be people of true peace. Grant us the opportunity, Lord, to catch a vision of how the world could live together. And so, Lord, we echo the old prayers. Make us channels of your peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were here last week, you might remember I brought with me my little pencil case. It's quite little-ish. If by little you're a giant, it's little. But I brought one thing with me out of that pencil case, and you might remember it. It was this colour. Yeah? The rubber to rub out big mistakes. I wonder if by a show of hands, if you've ever been told off by your parents for doing something that you shouldn't do. Okay, hands down. I wonder if you've ever managed to get away with something you know you shouldn't do and not been told off by anybody else. Yeah. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of God's glory, every one of us. So a few people that didn't put their hands up, examine your conscience. We all make mistakes. Sometimes it's little things, sometimes it's big things. Sometimes, sadly, in the world in which we live, not even a rubber as big as this can fix the mess that we make in our world. And I hope, as young people, you've all seen that it's not just yourselves going, yeah, I got told off by my parents. It's like the adults in the room as well at some point. We make mistakes, and sometimes it gets a bit bigger and a bit scarier than anything we can try and rub out. You probably notice that a lot of people today are wearing one of these. Some of you are as well. You know what it is, right? What is it? We know what it is. What is it? It's a poppy. Excellent. It's a poppy. Today, well, technically it was yesterday, we remember on the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month, in 1918, when the guns fell silent, and what was first known as the Great War, and that doesn't mean yay great, it means so big it was scary, and what we later know as the First World War came to an end. And we remember those who gave their lives in service for this country by wearing a poppy. Now, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, that was yesterday. But in church, we also take time, and at as close as we can manage to get it to 11 o'clock in our order of service today, we will be having an act of remembrance and taking time to remember people who made sure that we could be free. You see, we have a lot of freedom, don't we? We get to choose to come and worship in church without being told we can't. We get to choose what kind of thing we would like to do every day. We get to choose what kind of job we'd like to have when we've grown up. Don't you guys worry about that yet. There's a long way to go before you have to panic about that. But everything that you're doing now in school is gearing you up, is getting you ready so that you can achieve the potential that you have, so that you can be the best that you can be. And we have freedom that gives us a chance to use the best that we can be to make a choice to make the world a better place. But there's a sad fact, and it's a true fact, that the freedom we have didn't come freely. It came at sacrifice. There are people in this room today who've served, I suspect, in the armed forces. There are people here today who are taking time at 11 o'clock to remember loved ones and friends who are no longer with us because they paid the ultimate sacrifice. They went to fight so that we could be free. But I also this morning want to take a moment or two to remember another act of sacrifice. A sacrifice that didn't have to be paid, as we would view it. A sacrifice that is greater than anything anyone could put into words. Because the wonderful truth is that God wants us to be free. God desires us to be free from sin. God desires us to live with Him forever. God wants to set us free from all the bad stuff that can pull us down. That's the wonderful truth. That's why He sent Jesus. And I know you're starting to get excited because we've passed bonfire night and we're getting close now to starting thinking about Christmas, right? We remember that God loves us so much that He sent Jesus. But He sent Jesus so we could be forgiven of our mistakes, of all the humongous big mistakes that we keep making. He did that by sending Jesus to the cross. And Jesus died for us upon that cross. The ultimate act of sacrifice. Someone who had never done a single thing wrong, taking the punishment for me and for all the things that I've done wrong, and for every one of us, and for all the things that we've done wrong. So this morning, we remember a world that has a lot of mistakes, yeah? It's got a lot of bad stuff happening in it. But there is also hope. There is hope because good people choose to stand for freedom. And we remember those who gave their lives to give us freedom. And we especially remember this morning the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our friend, the one who went and took punishment so that we could enjoy full freedom in Him. We have a lot to celebrate. We have a lot to think about, to reflect upon. And we do so together, remembering that no matter how big the mistake we make, praise God, in Jesus Christ, there is always an answer. There is always a fix. We join together to sing hymn number 528. We're going to sing, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace."
Thank you. Our reading from the scriptures this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and is the beginning of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Let us listen for the word of God. Jesus saw the crowds and went up a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered round him, and he began to teach them. True happiness. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are the pure in heart. They will see God. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and tell all kind of evil lies against you, because you are my followers. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word, and to his name be the glory and praise forever. Amen.
We stand to sing hymn number 161, O God, our help in ages past. Come now to the part of our service where we take time to remember those who gave their lives in sacrifice. If you follow through with the words printed on the front page of Orders of Service, there are at certain points words I'd ask you to join in with me. They're printed for us in bold. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts, both past and present, have been given and taken away. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and of terror. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may live together in freedom, justice, and in peace. Let us confess to God the sins and shortcomings of the world, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil division and hatred. Let us confess our share in what is wrong and our failure to seek and establish that peace which God wills for all of his children. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We have done evil in your sight. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us what we have been. Help us to amend what we are. Direct what we should be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, Lord, all the days of our lives. For we ask all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I would ask you all, please, to stand. Let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of humanity. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. We join together in the words of the Act of Commitment, printed for us in our order of service. Will you honour all who bore the pains and adversities of war? Will you offer them your help and support and protect their dignity and welfare? With the help of God, we will. Will you remember the causes for which they endured adversity and for which many fought and died, by promoting peace, justice, and harmony among all people? With the help of God, we will. Will you always acknowledge how precious are the gifts which God has entrusted to us, and exercise the freedoms and opportunities you have with gratitude and humility? With the help of God, we will. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who called your church to witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to bring trust where there is fear, understanding where there is prejudice, and hope where there is despair, that the world may know the power of your reconciling love through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose words we continue to pray as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We join together to sing the words of hymn number 706, For the Healing of the Nations.
Thank you.
There are times when we look at our papers and our news feeds and we begin to despair about the state of the world in which we live. We read daily stories of hatred and intolerance, of wars, of threats of wars, of rumours of wars. And if we're completely honest with ourselves, there are times when we're left wondering if our hopes of peace are nothing more than dreams ripped to shreds by those who choose to go the path of evil and of hatred. The threat of terrorism on our doorsteps, the news of war in foreign fields. Where then is the hope for our world? How then can we cope with what we are bombarded with on a daily basis? Well, I'd like to offer you an answer to that. I'd like to tell you about one man. Now, no one had more reason to be miserable than this man. And yet, despite that fact, no man was ever more joyful. His first home was a palace. Servants were at his fingertips. The snap of his fingers would change the course of history. His name was known. His name was loved. He had everything: wealth, power, and respect. But then suddenly, he had nothing. Students of the event still ponder it to this day. Historians stumble as they attempt to explain it. How could a king lose everything in one instant? Because one moment he was royalty, the next he was in poverty. He went from dwelling in a palace to finding his bed become at best nothing more than a borrowed pallet. Normally, it would be the hard earth. He never owned even the most basic mode of transportation. He was dependent upon handouts for any source of income. Sometimes he was so hungry, he would eat raw grain or pick fruit off a tree as he passed. He knew what it was like to be rained on, to be cold. He knew what it meant to have no home. His palace grounds had been spotless, but now he dwells in filth. He'd never known disease, but now he's surrounded by illnesses. In his kingdom, he was revered. Now he's ridiculed. His neighbors try to lynch him. Some of them call him a lunatic. His family think the best thing to do is to try and confine him to their house. Those who didn't ridicule this man came to him seeking favors. They wanted tricks. He was to them a novelty. Some people wanted to be seen with him. Well, just so long as he was in fashion anyway. When he was no longer in fashion, everyone wanted to kill him. He was accused of a crime he never committed. Witnesses were hired to lie at his trial. The jury was rigged. No lawyer was assigned to his defense. A judge, swayed by politics, handed a simple result: death. And so he was taken and killed. He left as he came, penniless. He was buried in a borrowed grave. His funeral was financed by compassionate friends. And although once upon a time this man had everything, he died with nothing. This man should have been miserable. Hearing his life story We would equally identify with that thought and say, I agree, he should have moaned and mumped and groaned. He should have been bitter. He had every right to be a pot of boiling anger. But he wasn't. Despite all that we've heard, he was joyful. You see, sourpusses do not attract a following. But people followed this man wherever he went. Children will avoid soreheads, but children scampered after this man. Crowds don't gather to listen to the woeful. Crowds gathered to hear this man. Why? Because he was joyful. He was joyful when he was poor. He was joyful when he was abandoned. He was joyful when he was betrayed. He was even joyful when he hung on a tool of torture, his hands pierced with 6-inch-long Roman spikes. Jesus Christ embodied a stubborn joy, a joy which refused to bend in the wind of hard times, a joy that held its ground against pain and suffering, a joy whose roots extended deep into the bedrock of eternity. What kind of joy is this? What is this cheerfulness that dares to wink in the face of adversity? What is this bird that chooses to sing even though it's dark? What is the source of this kind of peace that defies pain? I call it simply this: sacred delight. It's sacred because it's not of this earth. What is sacred is that which belongs to God. And the joy that Jesus Christ had was God's joy. It's delight, because delight can both surprise and satisfy. What do I mean? Well, let's have a little look at this man's life. Delight is found in Bethlehem shepherds dancing a jig outside a cave. Delight is Mary watching God sleeping in a feeding trough. Delight is white-haired Simeon praising God who's about to be circumcised. Delight is Joseph teaching the creator of the world how to hold a hammer. Delight is the look on Andrew's face at a lunch bucket that never ever came up empty. Delight is the dozing wedding guests who drank the wine that up until a few moments before had been water. Delight is Jesus walking through waves as casually as you or I would walk through a pair of curtains. Delight is a leper seeing a finger where before there was only a nub. It's a widow hosting a party with food she'd prepared for a loved one's funeral. Delight is a paraplegic doing somersaults. Delight is Jesus doing the absolute impossible in crazy ways, healing blind people with spit, paying taxes with a coin found in a fish's mouth, and coming back from the dead disguised as a gardener. What is this sacred delight? It's simply this: it is God doing what gods can only be doing in our wildest and craziest of dreams. Wearing nappies, riding donkeys, washing feet, dozing in a storm. Delight is the day they accuse God of having too much fun, attending too many parties, and spending too much time with the happy crowd. Delight is a day's wage paid to workers who only turned up for an hour. Delight is a father scrubbing the stink of pig off his son's back. Delight is a shepherd throwing a party because the lost sheep has been found. Delight is a discovered pearl, a multiplied talent, a heaven-bound beggar, a criminal in the kingdom. Delight is a surprise on the faces of street folks who find themselves invited to the king's banquet. Delight is a Samaritan woman, big-eyed and speechless. The adulteress walking out of a stone-cluttered courtyard, and a skivvy-clad Peter plunging into cold waters just to get close to the one he cursed. Sacred delight is good news coming through the back door of our hearts. It's what we always dreamed but never expected. It's the too good to be true actually coming true. It's having God as your advocate, as your dad, as your biggest fan, as your best friend. God on your side, in your heart, out in front, and covering your back. It's hope where you least expect it. It's a flower in a crack in life's pavement. It's sacred because only God can grant it. It's a delight because what we're talking about here thrills us to our core. And because it's sacred, it can never be stolen. And because it's delightful, it can never be predicted. It was this gladness that saw people dance through the Red Sea. It was this joy that blew the trumpet of victory before the walls of Jericho. It was this secret truth that made Mary sing. And it was this surprise that put springtime into Easter morning. It's God's gladness. It's sacred delight. And this sacred delight is exactly what Jesus promised on the Sermon on the Mount. 9 times he promised it to an unlikely crowd. To the poor in spirit, those beggars in God's soup kitchen. To those who mourn, those who remember the loss of a loved one, and those sinners anonymous, bound together by the truth of an introduction. Hi, I'm Stuart. I'm a sinner. To the meek, to those pawn shop pianos played by Lang Lang. He's so good that nobody notices the missing notes. To those who hunger and thirst, those famished orphans who know the difference between a TV dinner and a Thanksgiving feast. To the merciful, those who share what they have with those in need. To the pure in heart, to those who give their talents to help those in difficult circumstances. To the peacemakers, to those architects who build wooden bridges with wood from a Roman cross. To the persecuted, those who keep an eye on heaven, though they walk through hell on earth. It is to this band of pilgrims that God promises a special blessing, a heavenly joy, a sacred delight. It is not cheap. What Jesus promises is not a gimmick to give us goosebumps, nor a mental attitude that we need to pump up at pep rallies. Matthew 5 describes a radical reconstruction of our hearts. Observe the sequence. First, we recognize we're in need. We're poor in spirit. Next, we repent of our self-sufficiency. We mourn. We quit calling the shots. We surrender our control to God because we're meek. And so grateful are we for his presence in our lives that we yearn for more of him. In that we hunger and thirst. And as we grow closer to him, we become more like him. We forgive others. We're merciful. We change our outlook. We're pure in heart. We love others as peacemakers. We endure injustice when we're persecuted. This is no casual shift of attitude. It's a demolition of the old way and a creation of the new. The more radical the change, the greater the joy. And it's worth every effort, for what we're talking about is the joy of God. What can cloud God's joy? What can quench God's joy? What can kill God's joy? Is God ever in a bad mood because of bad weather? Does God get ruffled over long lines of traffic jams? Does God ever refuse to rotate our earth because his feelings are hurt? No. His is a joy whose consequences can never be quenched. His is a peace which circumstances cannot steal. There is a delicious gladness which comes from God, a holy joy, a sacred delight within our reach. No matter what storms are raging in our lives, no matter what storms are raging in the world around us, we remember this morning this one truth. We are only ever one decision away from experiencing his joy and sacred delight in our circumstances. May we all, may the leaders of our nations, may every person on this earth put our trust in the loving God who desires peace and equity among all people of all nations. Amen. And thanks be to God for the promises of his word. We continue to worship God now as we bring to him our offering. Let us pray. Almighty God, through your love, the universe and this world were formed, and sun and stars set in their courses. In love, your Son claimed us as your children, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the future you have planned for us is revealed and assured. We know your purpose is that all should live as brothers and sisters. And so on this day, Lord, we declare our sadness that the history of our world is so marred by failure to live in peace that injustice, tyranny, and oppression are ever rife. Remind us, Lord, that still your call is given to us to show courage when danger threatens, fortitude in the face of loss and pain, hope when tempted to despair, and perseverance in defense of right values. We give thanks for those who have set us an example in their standing fast for the ways of truth and justice, and who held nothing back as they strove to uphold freedom and secure our peace. As Christ gave his life that we may live, so we give thanks for all who have been prepared and for all who are prepared this day to give their lives in the service of others. We give thanks for those who make the final sacrifice through which freedom, justice, peace, and love are shown to the world. We give thanks for all those of whom your words speak, that greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, for the injured in body and mind, and for those whose faith in God has been weakened or destroyed. We pray for those whom we remember from the past, for those who are serving in the present, and for those who will be called upon in the future. We pray for those made homeless by the effects of war, for those who are hungry, and for all who have lost their livelihood and security. We pray for those who mourn the death of a loved one, those who have lost a husband or wife, children or parents, and especially for those who have no hope in Christ to sustain them in their grief. We remember those known to us, praying that they will have the hope of Christ to uphold and comfort them. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love of peace. Guide us with your pure and peaceable wisdom. Guide those who take counsel for the nations of our earth, that your kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Forgive us, Lord, for our failure to be all that we should be. Refashion us into loyal servants of your cause, that your kingdom of peace may indeed be established through all the world to the glory of your holy name. For we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand to sing hymn number 704, I Vow to Thee, My Country.
Thank you.
May God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church, the Queen, the Commonwealth and all people, peace and concord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon us and remain with us always and all whom we love. Amen. We remain standing to sing all three verses of the national anthem. God bless you all.